Hallelujah. Amen. We've come to the most important part of this service. Amen. God's servant is in the house and he needs little or no introduction except for some of us that are new in church. Amen. Pastor Banky is not just a pastor. Amen. He's somebody that whenever he comes here, he impacts. He's a teacher. He's a prophet. He's a preacher of the word of God. He's a consultant, a pathologist at the UNTH, that University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. And also a preacher, a husband, a father, a mentor. I remember the last time that he came here. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. If you understand the kind of people in the house, the kind of preachers, the kind of teachers that we have in the house, that's why you can't come in here and your life will remain the same. Please permit me this morning. This man needs no other introduction. Please, with the Holy Ghost innovation and his hand innovation, permit me as I bring Pastor Banky all the way from the city of Enugu. Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
Please, before you sit down, can you just help me preach to one or two people beside you? Tell them it is because of God that you are alive today. And it's because of him you will go somewhere tomorrow. Tell the person that you are moving higher in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell the person you are going somewhere to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's not by your power. It's not by your strength. It's not by your own wisdom. But it's by the grace and the Spirit of God. Tell the person, therefore worship this God. Therefore serve this God. Therefore walk with him. You know what Jesus said? Follow me and I will make you. You know, he said to Peter and Co, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But there's a deep truth in there. Anybody that follows God, he makes him into something. Abraham followed God. God made him Abraham, made him a father of many nations, made him the father of faith, made him somebody we refer to every day because Abraham followed God. Do you get my point? When Saul followed God, God made him Paul, the greatest of the apostles. Anytime you wake up in the morning, you are sure at least 500 million people listen to Paul that morning. That's what it means to follow God. You can struggle, you can wake up early, you can go to bed late. It is vain. The Bible calls it vanity. It is vain for a man to rise up early and go to bed late. Whatever he gets is a bread of sorrows. I noticed yesterday I was teaching that God never said to Abraham that you never to Adam that you never succeed. He said you only have to sweat to do it. That's all he said. So if you follow the principles of the world, you can have a funny testimony. One day I was reading Paul Getty. Paul Getty was at the time the richest man in the world. You know what he said? He said, how do you become rich? He said, rise up early, go to bed late. I said, it's a lie. I don't care that you are the richest man in the world. It's a lie. The Bible says it is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. No matter the riches he acquires, it's called the bread of sorrows. The other day I was watching Titans on CNBC Africa. And they were describing this man who founded CNN. Remind me of his name. I was mentioning yesterday. Ted Turner. Ted Turner at the time was worth $10 billion. He's a very rich man. But he had been married many times. Why? They said Ted Turner used to work 18 hours a day. Do you know what I mean? 18 hours a day. The other 6 hours he sleeps, he eats, he socializes. Every other thing he does is within the other 6 hours. 18 hours a day. He said, I don't care how many billions you made. It's called the bread of sorrows. But you know how you and I will succeed? We'll follow God. And then the strength of God, which is called his grace, begins to arrange things for you. Yesterday I was teaching, and the Lord made me say this. I said, you know what grace is? You know, let me just give you a short testimony. Before you sit down, please. You will soon sit down. You know, my wife does a business. You know, she buys things, sells, and all of that. You know? And right now, she's doing a postgraduate program in the University of Nigeria, Enugu campus, an MSc program. And the MSC program runs in the evenings. And that's when she does most of her business. So she was complaining. She traveled some time ago, brought back a lot of stuff. So because of her program in school, she really can't do her business properly. So she was saying, these are my things. I've not moved. So I didn't even know. She said one day she woke up, laid hands on her goods, and prophesied on them. And since then, till now, people have been trooping in and out of my house. And she's laughing. She told me, husband, guess what? I sold this amount today. Husband, guess what? This happened today. He said, I prayed over my things just a few days ago. He said, God seems to answer these prayers while you are still thinking about them. Then I got another understanding for the word grace. I said, grace is what God does for you because you asked him. Grace is the door that God opens for you because you prayed about it. Grace is when God makes everybody wait for you to get to the office, even though your competitors came at 6 a.m. But you, because yesterday you were very busy, you slept till 10, but they waited. You know how you are going to succeed in life? Because you followed God and he poured his grace upon your path. Tell your neighbor before you sit down. Say, God's grace is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell the person you will never fail because God's grace does not allow anybody to fail. Say, Father, we give you thanks. Thank him because he's so good. Let's just worship the Lord for a minute. Just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, today I will hear your word. Today I will be transformed again by it. Say, Lord, today you will manifest in me by your spirit, by your word coming forth from this pulpit this morning. Lord, and I will be blessed and your name will be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
If you're happy to be in church this morning, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
If you're happy to be a member of House on the Rock, Abba, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
If you are delighted to be pastored by my very good friend and his wife, Pastor Annie, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
You see, I'm not saying this because mommy is here. You know, it's the truth. You know, Elihu said that I don't flatter with my mouth. If I do, I die early. That's what he said. Christians are not allowed to flatter. If you join politics and you are shouting rank and daddy to a crook, you die. Are you getting my point? You tell a crook, may you live long. Why should he live long? What's wrong with you? Then God will kill you in his place. Don't do rank and daddy except you believe it. Christians are not allowed to flatter. That's what Elihu said, alright? People of God don't flatter, alright? And I don't also. One day I went for somebody's birthday. He said, okay, there are people are going to say something nice about this person. I didn't know anything nice to say, so I warned people. If you ever call me up to say something nice about somebody I don't know anything nice to say about, I'll just grab the microphone anyway and start preaching. Say, the Lord is good. Today is a good day. We have all gathered. I won't say anything about the person for whom we have gathered. All right? So what I want to say is the truth. I said the last time I came and I'll continue saying it. Your privilege. Say amen. You are blessed. What do I mean? I talked to Pastor Andy, we discussed a lot. And I can tell you for sure. No, people mount the pulpit for different reasons. I can come and preach a message to you because I'm angry. Maybe I told Yinka and Bishop, let's leave Enugu on time this morning. They came late. And I'm very angry. So I get here and say, all those of you who travel late, I'm preaching out of anger. Maybe my wife annoyed me. I told her I'd do something. She didn't do it. She did the opposite. I start preaching on submission. Unnecessary message. If somebody vexes you for house, settle down for house. Why bring her unconscious? At this year. Alright, so people come for different reasons. I can assure you, Pastor Annie doesn't come for any of these reasons. That's what I'm going to. If he's planning the program, it's because it will bless people. I know that what he thinks about is how the word of God will transform the lives of people and the environment they live in. That is a matter of fact. And that's, you know, it's a privilege. It's not something you come across every day. There are those who start churches so they can raise money for another ministry they plan to do. Yes, maybe I feel like God called me to be on television. I start a church so I can collect money. So if you carry my money elsewhere, you're in trouble. Are you getting my point? Yes, there are different reasons. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying it's a matter of fact that you are privileged to be in the house where the center, that is the core of the desire of the man of God, all right, is for the word of God to enter you and transform you. Therefore, you should give honor to such men. It's a matter of fact. He's not around, but in his place, let's thank and recognize and, like they say, do something for the Lord, for the first lady of the house. Tell her you love her. When you are leaving church today, how many of you use MTN? MTN. You have buy and share. What is share and kill and share? What do they call that? Take a number and transfer some credit. Christians are always waiting for somebody to. No, this that's a good thing. I mean, somebody blesses you, transfer credit into his phone. God, GSM has changed our life in this country. In the same manner, he has made the giving of offering very easy. I don't have a million yet, but I have 750 on my phone, so we'll share them. It's called kill and share. Because you buy and share. If somebody has blessed you, should bless the person. The Bible says somebody has blessed you with spiritual substance, the person has the right to partake of your material substance. People come to me once in a while and say, "Oh, Pastor Banky, your ministry has been such a blessing. Every time I watch you on TV, my life has just transformed." I say, "Hey, how come your own life has not transformed my own? Now you see me every day. You don't smoke." I don't say it outside in my mind. I just think, "Hey, my God." No, there are things that are proper. You know, one time, Paul vexed. He said, "Me too, I'll soon go and marry a wife like Peter." See, that's what people want. All right, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So once again, let's put our hands together for Pastor Annie and his wife. You have been a blessing to the city of Abba and to your life. The Lord is good. All right, let me not forget also to recognize my able assistants in the ministry. They go through a lot, including my shouting and giving them imaginary knocks on the head to help me to make sure that I'm able to do the work of God. Two of them are there. The fellow in front is a architect, doctor in the making. He's a PhD student. His name is Bishop Mike Okonkwo. Sorry, Odwayan. Just put our hands together for him. Where's Olayinka? Okay, Olayinka is at the back there. If you call me, he's the one that will answer the phone. He's been such a blessing to me. He's the one that every time I've been to Abba, we have always come together. All right? I mean, he has his own business, he does. He has his own family, he has him, but he takes time out to help me in the work of the ministry. So let's put our hands together also for him. Olayinka, rise and wave your hands. The people love you. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The Lord is good. If you believe, you shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
Now, we are going to study the Word of God. This morning, I called Pastor Annie yesterday. I said, "What exactly is going on right now? Is there anything you want me to lean towards in the message of today?" He said, "Well, just flow as the Spirit leads you, but we are talking about, we've been talking about wealth transfer for a while." So I felt like, well, let's see how the Lord will go about it, but I feel like saying something also about that, and especially about how God prepares the spirits of men to receive things from Him. Let's bow down our heads to say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. It's a good day. Anytime your people gather in your presence, it's a good day, because blessed is the man whom thou hast chosen and whom thou hast caused to approach unto thee. Lord, everyone present here today is blessed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as I speak your word, I will bring forth your blessing by these words in the name of Jesus. Give understanding to everyone present. Give understanding to every ear present. And let this word not stand against anyone in judgment in the last day, but let it be a blessing for them from now till Jesus comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I say because I want you to answer. The Lord is good. Alright, if you have your Bibles, quickly, we'll read a number of scriptures. The first one I would like us to read from the book of Proverbs chapter 23. We're talking about wealth transfer also, but what I want to speak about specifically is the perfection of spirits. What did I say? The perfection of spirits. We'll read a number of scriptures. I'll pass a few comments, then we'll drop the Bible, and then I'll begin to teach. First of all, let's read the book of Proverbs chapter 23. I'm sure you've read it a number of times, talking about wealth transfer. He said in verse 4, just like I was introducing earlier, he said, "Do not overwork to be rich." Even though Tertullian says you need to work 18 hours a day, don't believe him. Do not overwork to be rich. Even though Paul Getty said at the time that the way to become rich is rise up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. Don't believe him. He said, "Do not overwork to be rich. because of your own understanding. It says, seize. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward the heaven. Now notice that. It says, riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward the heaven. I was saying to you earlier, Tetona at the time was worth $10 billion. When I was watching the interview, it was worth just $1 billion. $9 billion grew wings and flew away toward the heavens. And he was shocked to find that the thing had disappeared. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, don't overwork to be rich. Your work must not be because riches is your goal. There's an important thing Christians must know about worldliness. Worldliness is your mindset, the way you think, how you perceive things. Are you getting my point? Worldliness is how you judge yourself and how you judge others. If you see a man and you judge him highly because he's a rich man, you are worldly. If you look at yourself because you have not made money yet, you think you're inferior, you are worldly. Are you getting my point? A man was asked once, how come you don't preach in so and so place? He says, because I've not bought a car yet. I said, that's why he doesn't preach there. Because he's definitely worldly. Are you getting my point? He thinks people will listen to him if he has a good car. It's not true. When I used to ride bikes to where I would go to preach, pastors would listen to me. Are you getting my point? And I was a young boy. Are you getting my point? I'm telling you, do I look very old yet? No, I don't. And I'm telling you stories of like 16 years ago. Are you getting my point? I didn't have a car to go there. I would go on a bike, take a bus, change buses in Lagos. I didn't even have to, of course, to take a taxi because I couldn't afford the taxi. I mean, why can you be going from there about to all the way to what do you call it, trade fair, and you'll be taking taxi? You know how much they're going to charge you? How much do you earn in a month? So I come out early, take one bus, you go to Jolegba, take another one, go in, finally get there. And I stroll, is this the church where I'm supposed to preach this morning? And they say, yes. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And everybody's excited when I finish preaching. Worldliness is how you, when you perceive and judge yourself based upon material things. That is worldly. When you wake up in the morning and all your labor is because you want to be rich, you're a worldly person. If you think that the only way you have influence and power in life is by virtue of riches, you are being worldly. Look, as a Christian, you must assess people first of all by their dedication to truth. Are you getting my point? Dedication to truth. Dedication to the word of God. Those are the things you use to assess somebody, because ultimately, that's what will differentiate between the person who will fail and the person who will persistently succeed. Bear that in mind. So he said here, don't overwork to be rich. He said, because of your understanding, he says, seize. Will you set your eyes on that which is not, that which is not real, that which is temporal, that which is vanity? Like Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. And you should listen to Solomon when he talks, because he's a man who experienced everything that people are still striving for today. When it came to money, he was the richest man indeed in the world in his time. Not because he was just a king. You must bear in mind, Solomon was rich not just because he was a king, but because he was an astute and smart businessman. Go and read it. You see, he used to rear horses. He used to import gold in raw form, process them, and export the finished products. Solomon was a very good businessman. He was into agriculture. He was into all kinds of things. He had ships. The man owned fleets of ships. That's how he became very rich. On top of that, people used to bring him presents. He became exceedingly rich. And at the end of the day, he said, listen, my friend, that is vanity. Are you getting my point? So believe him. Believe him. You must not allow your life be an experiment. God has given Solomon to us as an experiment. Anything Solomon says to you, for example, polygamy, Solomon experienced it. I mean, what else do you call polygamy that can be more than 700 wives and 300 concubines? At the end, he said, there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth, one wife. That's what Solomon said. Are you getting my point? So let's listen to Solomon very carefully. So when he says, do not labor, do not overwork to be rich, there's something he's saying. But listen to this. He said, wealth, riches certainly make themselves wings. And that's what I want to talk about today. When birds fly, listen to this. When birds fly, they always have a reason to perch. They don't just, look, for example, seasons. You know, we're not very used to it in Nigeria because I think we still have a bit of it. But if you go to countries where they have, the difference between summer and winter is like sin and righteousness. Are you getting my point? You'll understand. There are birds that disappear at certain seasons. They go somewhere else to go and breed. You get the point? They go very far away. Now, the point I'm making is this. When they leave where they are at a particular point in time and they're heading for some other place, there's always a reason. Spiritual things are like that. When the Bible uses the word spirits, you must get this point. Spiritual principles apply to all the spirits across board. It applies to evil spirits. It applies to money spirits. It applied when I say, you know, money spirit is from evil spirit. Money is just a spirit. Are you getting my point? It's not good. It's not bad. It's just there. Are you getting my point? Like water is not good. It's not bad. But you can drink it and be happy. You can drown in it. Are you getting my point? Fire is not good. It's not bad. But if you put it under your pot, it will cook for you. Put it in your house, it burns it down. All right? So it's neither good or bad. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. You must get that point. Money is like that also. So there's a money spirit. Now listen to this. Now this is how you know a money spirit. Anywhere the money spirit now. I'm not talking about covetous spirit. It's a difference. I'm talking about money spirit. There are people that have it as a gift of God. Anything they do, they make money. Anything. It's just a spirit. Now, so there's a money spirit. There is the spirit of God. Any one of these spirits you look at, they have this. There's a general principle that guides them. And what I want to bring out from there is that they always look for a place to stay. You hear what I said? They always do what? Look for a place to stay. The Holy Spirit of God, going to Genesis chapter 1. When the earth was without form and it was void, darkness was upon the surface of the deep. What happened? The Spirit of God was looking for a place to stay. And it was hovering over the surface of the waters. And he began to prepare a place that he can indwell. Therefore, he said, let there be light. And he began to make arrangements so that man could come on the earth. Then the Spirit of God entered into man and man became a living soul. He's always looking for a place to stay. Are you getting my point? So that his effect can be felt. Now, let me tell you another example. If you see, Jesus said that when a man has a spirit, an evil spirit, and you cast it out, it goes out and starts looking for where? A resting place. It goes to dry places. When it doesn't find, he says, I will go back to the house from which I came. They're not looking for where to stay. Money spirit is also like that. Wealth spirit. Now, I'm not talking about evil spirit or covetous spirit. I'm talking about the power to create wealth. So when it leaves a place, there's a reason. It doesn't just fly away from somebody's life and into another person's life for no reason at all. No, he doesn't. There will be a reason why he will leave a place, and there will be a reason why he will go and tabernacle somewhere else. You know, I've been watching the world economic problems over the last few years, and just watching TV, reading analysis and all of that. I said, except there's natural disaster, there's no reason why the world should say there's a problem with money. Are you getting my point? What it means is that the same move from one place to the other. And when some people are losing it, they start shouting. And you start hearing it on the news. That's a matter of fact. When Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all those American things collapsed, when Little Rock collapsed, and all those major, what do you call it now? Lehman Brothers, when they all collapsed, billions of dollars disappeared. AIG lost $36 billion in 3 months. The biggest biggest financial industry in the world. Lost $36 billion in 3 months. People were losing jobs randomly. There's a particular month Americans lost, I think, is it 1 million jobs in a month? I think it was in November 2009 or so. What jobs was there dropping here and there, disappearing? Now, I'm going somewhere. At the same time, Rolls Royce in London doubled its shift. You hear what I said? Rolls Royce doubled its shift because they couldn't meet up with the order. They had never sold that number of Rolls Royces in their life. Are you getting what I'm saying? One Rolls Royce was going for £250,000. Yet, they doubled the shift. Because they could not meet up with the demand the way they were going. GM was closing. Ford was in distress. Chrysler was having problems. Those guys were having serious issues. The people that made cars for middle and low level people were shutting down. What does that tell you? The money moved from certain places and moved somewhere else. That's why Ford can be complaining. GM can be shutting down plants, declaring Chapter 11 protection like Americans call it. At the same time, Rolls Royce said, now, wow, boys, how we go do now? Oh, yeah, double the shift, double the shift. We have too many orders. We can't keep people waiting for the next 1 year. What does that tell you? It confirms all the scripture says, that the wealth disappeared from somewhere and it went somewhere else. You are getting my point. I want to bring out the principle here. When wealth flies, it's looking for a place to land. So when we're talking about wealth transfer in the body of Christ, you must understand that principle that God operates. God, apart from being your father and being love, beyond all of that, he's just. If he doesn't love, nobody can arrest him. But if he's not just, he's subject to arrest by himself. You get what I'm saying? Look, with God, His throne is established in righteousness and justice, not in love. In what? Justice and righteousness. What does that mean? If an unbeliever does what is wrong and God punishes him, if a believer does what is wrong, he is duty bound to punish also. Did you hear that? He said, but what? I know where you are going. He said, the blood of Jesus. Yes. Jesus took the punishment. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you have to do certain things to tap into the redemption that's in him. You don't just continue sinning that grace may abound. By continuing in iniquity, grace doesn't work for you anymore. What am I saying? Christians, what the blood of Jesus does for us is that we repent. Do you get my point? By the presence of repentance, we are forgiven. Forgiveness is not free. When I say it's not free, somebody paid for it. Somebody paid for it. So God is still just when he forgives. But I'm bringing an issue here. The issue is that if God removes, if the spirit of wealth flies from somewhere for certain reasons, it does not land in another place where the same conditions are prevalent. If a bird emigrates from maybe the west coast of America because it's winter, it won't go down to London because it's, and find that it's winter and then stay there. Are you getting my point? If the condition that made the bird leave, it's not comfortable. I mean, it left the place because the condition is no longer comfortable. It won't land in the place where it will meet exactly the same conditions. It doesn't. It doesn't. That's what it's called, God being just. He doesn't take wealth from an unbeliever and give to a believer that does the same things as the unbeliever. No, God doesn't do it. He doesn't take from the Muslim and go to give to a Christian just because he say, you know, you're a Muslim. Allah Akbar, get away. I'm giving to a Christian. If they do the same works, listen, before God removes from the Muslim, he doesn't just say, he's a Muslim. No, he'll make sure. That's what is called justice. That a man will walk in a manner that makes him culpable. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. That's how God does his things. He's always just. He's always just. He told the children of Israel, listen, I know I promised your father this land. He said, but I had to move you people away until the iniquity of the Amorites become full. I don't know whether you get my point. I know I promised your father the land, but until the iniquity of the people staying in the land is full, you guys can't take it, because I will not be able to take them out. So he allowed them to go away, to go and cool their heads in Egypt, while the people were reveling in their sins. They were enjoying their sins. Then when the iniquity was full, God now brought those people out and said, listen, you are going to drive them away, not because of your righteousness, but because of their wickedness. Therefore, if you come into the land and do the same things they did, I will also drive you away. I don't care that I promised to your fathers. That's what he told them. Are you following the point I'm making? So when God was taking them out of Egypt, that's why in Egypt he didn't talk to them. In the wilderness, they started discussing. These are the laws. You will live by these laws when you get into the land. If you do differently, boys, I'm kicking you out exactly the same way I kicked them out. And he thought he was joking. Every time they did like the people they met in the land that he said they should drive out, God also drove them out. Eventually, he kicked them out of the place entirely. Because it's called a just God. Are you following the principle of what I'm saying? Therefore, if we're talking about wealth, if you're talking about God transferring wealth from an unbeliever, we preach all these things. God is assuming that at the same time we are learning that we must learn to operate life in a different manner. Otherwise, the bird that flies away from the unbeliever will not land the life of the Christian if he meets the same conditions. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, there's another scripture I want us to read. I was just trying to pass comments on that chapter 23, verse 4 there, all right? And verse 5. Let's read another scripture. I want to explain something here. Two scriptures quickly. The book of Hebrews chapter... I think chapter 12. Chapter 12. Now listen to this. In verse 18, it says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and all of that. It has to describe the mountain you have come to. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, please notice this, to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's what I want from there. Let me just complete that segment. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Let me go over that verse 23, the last portion again. He said, to God the judge of all, that's what we have come to, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. I want that phrase, the spirits of just men made perfect. I want to, like I told you at the beginning, I'm talking about the perfection of spirits. It's very crucial. Because you see, if you look at, there's a general principle again about spirits I was telling earlier. What life gives to you is dependent upon the kind of spirit you have. If you have a spirit of no man will ever control me, you never get a husband. That's it. There was one joke I heard once. Not the joke, something that happened. One guy and his fiancée went out. Is it fiancée? Which one is the man or the woman? Who's the fiancée? Who's the fiancée? Anyway, you know what I mean anyway, so let's just continue. I mean, all these fine details. He went out one day. They went in his car. He went to her tailor's place. Ah, she's the type that... No, she used to tell her sister, see, hey, I can never take this kind of thing to take my husband. I can never. I can't. All right. The demo, they go. Issue, they come. So that they said, here, and the guy went somewhere, and when they got to the place, she decided to demonstrate in the place, like, and she got angry with her, with somebody she went to see, and she was shouting. And so the guy was trying to cool her down, said, no, leave me. She was just totally out of control. They came in his car. They were supposed to get married a short time after. After the guy was there for a while, the guy came out, took a bike, and left. Do you hear what I said? They came in his car. He took a bike and left. You didn't hear me? They came in his car. He came out when he couldn't take it anymore. He took a bike and left. Left the key, said, when you are through, you can drive back. I am going. And going is, I've gone. And the guy realized, man, this guy is serious. He wasn't joking. He finally, he now had a Benghazi meeting between them to stop NATO bombing of Libya. And the guy said to her simply, wait, please, let's decide who's wearing these trousers, you or me. Do you get the point? That please, you either choose to be the husband or I choose to be the husband. We ain't going to marry you and you be the husband. It's not possible. What life gives to you is what? The kind of spirit that you what? Have. And I can prove it quickly. Let's not spend too much time, but you know the story of Joseph. How did Joseph make it into the throne in Egypt? Let's just read one particular scripture there. Genesis chapter 41. It says clearly, after he finished talking, Pharaoh looked at Joseph. He said to him, you know the story, let's not go over the story. Joseph told the story, interpreted the dream, and gave solution to the problem that was coming up. And who will put in charge? Pharaoh said to his servants in verse 38, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the spirit of the gods, or the spirit of God, depending on which translation you are reading. But because of the kind of worship Pharaoh was into, what he said actually is that, can we find a man like this, in whom is the spirit of the gods, or a divine spirit, that it has a spirit that is out of this world? Are you getting my point? He said, for that reason, because God has seen all of these things, and there's no one as discerning, as wise as you. That's because of the kind of spirit he has. It allowed God to show him things. It gave him discernment. Pharaoh therefore made him, he said, you shall be ruler, verse 40, over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. If you go also to the book of Daniel, let's not spend too much time, like I said, reading all of these things. You will see also, the Bible says concerning Daniel, Daniel chapter 5, when there was a problem in the land, the queen mother came, that's the king's mother came and said to the king, that there's a man in your kingdom in whom there is an extraordinary spirit. And in the days of your father, or, you know, interpretation of dreams, solving of difficult problems was to be found in this Daniel. What am I saying? The reason why your father elevated him was because in him was found what? An extraordinary spirit. What life gives to you is dependent upon the kind of spirit that you have. Now, one of the mistakes people make is that they want to fight, they want to kick against the pricks. You know, like Paul was told. They have a wrong spirit, they are working hard. Their spirit is rejecting prosperity, but they are working hard for it. It's called double-mindedness. They say, oh, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. That is not what makes you a millionaire. Jesus told us clearly, if you want to be a millionaire, you must have the spirit of a servant. Whosoever will be the greatest amongst you must be the servant of all. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The one who wants to be great must imbibe the spirit of the servant. Therefore, God highly exalted him because he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He said, let this same mind or this same attitude or this same spirit that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. So if you are going to be great in life, you have to toe the path of Christ Jesus. You must have his kind of spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he said that we have come to Mount Zion, to the spirits, that's where I was going, the spirits of just men made perfect. What God does in life is to perfect your spirit so that you will be in the position so that when the bird, we're talking about wealth transfer, when the bird, the spirit of wealth is flying, it will find your life conducive to landing. That's what I'm talking about. It's not by struggle, that's what grace is called. When God works in you by his word, by his spirit, creating the adequate climate, the summer that the bird is looking for, it will disappear from winter somewhere else and come and land in your place. The Bible says the spirit of God is how it behaves. The eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. What is he trying to do? He's looking for where to land, where he will show himself strong, and is always on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Listen, it's preparing our hearts for the transfer that makes it work in a manner that will benefit us. It happens every day. Wealth grows wings every day. What you do is prepare your heart, your life, your spirit, so that it will be a conducive place for it to land. Do you get my point? And I'm talking about the perfection of this of spirit. Said the spirits, we have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. There are many things to say about it, but we don't have all the time. I didn't even check my time when I started. Please give me a note when I have 15 minutes left. Please, it's crucial. I didn't check my time when I started. Alright? Now, there are so many things to say about it. But the one I want to say today is how one of the ways by which God is perfecting your spirit, and for you to be careful that you don't fight him. As we're coming just now, as we took that turn, we saw posters. Operation Witches Must Die. Operation Suffer Not Witches and Wizards to Live. And Olayinka was making a joke from the things I've said before. That if he's a guest minister somewhere, we'll tell everybody to say, everybody say after me, I'm a witch troubling myself. I am the witch in my own life. The truth is that most of the time, people are fighting things that don't exist. Just by the way, let me let you know something. Most of the problems in life, most of the diagnosis people make about problems in life, is just African mentality. Anything goes wrong, the first thing an African man thinks about is who is responsible. If he buys bad materials to do railing upstairs in his house and he falls through it, it's who used his eye to push me down. When I was saving the small money, instead of buying correct material, nobody was there. But now that I have fallen through the bad material I bought, it's who. And like I say all the time, they are, you know, it's business. I mean, they are pastors, that's their job. Help you identify who. Is there an old woman in your village? Which village doesn't have an old woman? Do you eat in your dream? There's no hungry man that has not eaten in his dream. And it's in the Bible. Scripture says clearly, hungry men eat in their dreams. Say, do you make love to a woman in your dream? If you were ever 16 years old here and you didn't make love to any woman in your dream, put up your hand. I know you're a liar. Guys, did I lie there? You're all pretending. It's the truth. If I say, if you have ever made love to any woman in your dream, stand up. If you don't stand up, you're the liar. Yes. Pretend not like a pastor. Must you say it like that? You don't need deliverance. It's the hormones of childhood. And too many films. Once you watch too many Hollywood films, you go dream bad dream. Doesn't mean you are demon possessed. So if you ever swam in your dream, if you've never swam in your dream, never saw a swimming pool, that's all. If you have been watching, is it Michael Phelps or what's his name? You will swim in your dream one day. You know, I'm a doctor, right? So sometimes when I'm listening to radio. Thank you. When I'm listening to radio, and they say, my name is Alhaji Water, the Balogun General of Traditional Medicine in the whole of Africa. And they're saying that, I have no problem with that. Anybody can be Alhaji anything. Can be anything. The problem I have is when they start telling you the reason why you should come. That's when I start getting pained. If your stomach is doing broom, 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 and something is moving all over your body, if you find it hard to sleep at night, and you discover that you have back pain, listen, let me tell you why people have back pain. Number one reason why people have back pain is bad mattress. The mattress they are sleeping on is bad. That's number one reason. That's number one reason. They have a bad sleeping posture. And number one reason why women have something crawling all over their bodies that they are worried. These are real medical issues. If you are worried, something will crawl over your body. Number one reason why a man can't sleep is that he's broke. See, listen. These are the issues of life. If you are owing money, you can't sleep. Except the Lord breathes a special spirit of sleep upon you. Those are not the reasons why you need to go and see one traditional anybody. This is the reason why you should pray. Pray straight, dear Lord, I'm broke. Man, this guy is broke. Now, what am I saying of this? Africans have a way of chasing things that don't exist. You are getting my principle here? All right, let me just go in there. I'm trying to explain. Now, there's something that's... I'm talking about the provision of spirits. There's something that God does. So, we have to understand it so that we don't fight him. And what he does is so that he can do you good at the end. That's where I'm going to. All right? That's where I'm going to. And you see, if you don't dispel these ideas from your minds of looking for who to blame or circumstances to blame, because the Bible says indeed you are the head and not the tail. Are you getting my point? Yes, tails never, heads don't blame circumstances because things are not allowed to wag them to and fro. Heads think. Are you getting my point? What do? They think. Heads consider. Elihu said it clearly. They asked themselves, where is God my maker? What's the issue? What have I done? What is not correct between me and God my maker? They don't blame anybody. They don't blame anybody. That's how tails behave. Heads realize that, look, it's between me and God. It's between me and God alone. There's nobody else there. Are you getting my point? Because when we don't do like that, we spend our energy for nothing. We chase things that don't satisfy. And like I said, the people who either they are totally, thoroughly false, or they lack of understanding that call themselves ministers, they start doing what the Bible calls healing the heart of the daughters of my people slightly, superficially. Well, we overcome them. We overcome them. 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 There's no them against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? And the other day, my wife and I were speaking. We were talking about one of her relatives. Now, listen to this. A man left his wife and his children and disappeared abroad for the last 10 years thereabout, and no eye has seen him since. And he's alive and well. And people know. Abandon his wife and children, doesn't send them money, doesn't do anything. And when his wife is going to talk, he said, I don't pray. Those way they hold my husband. I told my wife, what nonsense is this? A man is being irresponsible. You are blaming the people who are holding him. A man is shirking his responsibilities. You are blaming somebody who's holding him.
You should have gone to pray and tell MFM to help you send Koboko across the waves. Yes, against him, he needs to be flogged. There's no witch anywhere or worrying the guy. The guy has a personal mental issue. He's an irresponsible man. Why are you blaming somebody else? That's the problem we have in life. We don't look at ourselves. We don't look at inwards. What am I going to explain? Listen, let's quickly read something. James chapter 1, because my time is really going now. Book of James chapter 1. We're talking about wealth transfer. I want to explain something. The other day, my wife and I had a joke in the house. Look, I told her she does business. She buys things, she sells, and all of that. So, a friend of mine was coming from the UK. And at that time, you know, Forex was a bit difficult to get. So the guy arrived and said that, listen, I have some pounds. Do you want to buy? So she said, okay. So she collected everything. Now listen to this. You're going to see where I'm going. She collected the pounds. So the guy was not leaving immediately. So on his way back, he collected his naira. So the day he came back, he went to collect his naira. My wife needed money to pay him. So I told her simply. So he said, hey, looking for money. I said, okay, let me give you the money. Because it's business you're doing. I said, you're going to pay interest. Said, why should I pay interest? Why should I pay interest? Why should I need money? My husband has money and we have to pay interest. So I kept quiet. So I entered my car and drove away. Be looking for money. I'm going somewhere. So later on I called her. I said, listen. It's another of my friends that, you know, they do something like that also. So this is his dollars he will spend for house. I wanted to give him he needed some of his money back. So I just gave. He said I should help him do something. I didn't even tell. I just paid the money. And I said, look, listen, this fellow needed some of the money that he helped you to buy stuff. So you will give me back afterwards. You know, it's business you're doing. Okay. I said, you notice I didn't ask you anything. I said, you know why instead that day? Why? I said, if you had called me and said, okay, husband, how much interest am I supposed to pay? I said, we'll have this. I said, how much will it be? Even if I collect interest from you, it's not you I'm giving it back to. It's not this house it's coming to. I said, do you know why I insisted? And I refused to give him and I walked away. I said, now it's 50,000. Now it's 100,000. I said, listen, my girl, it's business you're doing. And if you really understand that one day you are going to need 200 million naira, then get used to the fact that you have to negotiate with a banker. I said, get used to it. I said, if you keep on training yourself, fella Duro to yourself, whatever you get, you do all the time, you get good at it. If I use, okay, somebody give me money and then it's just free for 1 month, 2 months, and you're doing business. I said, the day will come when you will need 200 million naira, you won't understand. I said, practice it now. Even if I say all I'm charging you is 500 naira, I pay the money. I said, you and I will play with the money immediately after. I said, but get it into your mind that as a billionaire, I said, a day is going to come, you are going to call the regional manager of Zenith and say, I need 1.5 billion tomorrow. And the man is not going to just give you like that. You are going to negotiate. I said, get used to it. Get used to it. Practice it. This is business you're doing. Practice it. God is going to raise you to a level where when you need money suddenly, it's not going to be 100,000. It's going to be 250 million naira. And nobody's just going to give you, say, hold, bring them tomorrow. You are going to call your bank manager. You are going to discuss rates. You are going to threaten that if you guys don't give me at this percentage, I'm walking across the other bank. I said, get used to it. I'm coming to something. James chapter 1. Verse 2. It said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing or the trial of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. We are coming to the spirits of just men made what? Perfect. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That these trials in life is what God uses to perfect your spirit. That's where I'm going. Do you get what I'm going to explain? The other day, somebody, you know, just the story I was telling you. One woman was having problems in her business. And of course, went to all these diviners. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. I said, it is the landlord that is jealous of you. So that landlord, he has sent an evil spirit, is disturbing your business. Hey, Elijah, 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 Elijah. Bash. What is the remedy? Pack away from the shop. So she packed away from the shop. And my wife asked the person who was narrating the story, say, has business improved? No. So what happened? The landlord followed, entered into Portmanteau and followed her? No.
The truth, there was no landlord problem. There was a problem of integrity. There was a problem of accountability. There was a problem of proper doing of things. There's a problem of customer relations. There's a problem in how this woman was running her business, but a lying prophet said to her, it is a landlord. Because the African man must blame somebody. Elihu said to Job, this is how believers are supposed to pray. They will say, where is God my maker? Are you getting my point? Listen, you started the first business, it collapsed. Don't mind them. It is the community people. Fine. Thank God for community people. Try the second one. It went down. Don't mind them. It is the Chinese people. No problem. You went to the third one. There's a problem. Don't mind them. You should call yourself. Why are these dems against only me? Is the dem not against Aliko Dangote when they made him the richest black man on the earth and richest man in Africa? Why is the dem against me alone? Do you follow my point? Every failure in life for a believer is a valuable lesson, and you must never miss your lessons. Every failure is what? A valuable lesson. Every failure. There is a lesson to learn in every adversity, even if it appears like other people are responsible outwardly. But there is a lesson. Like my pastor said once, those when I was in Lagos, he said, you hired the first person. He said, my business went bad because the fellow is a thief. Fine, thank God, that fellow is really a thief. You hire the next person, that one is lazy. You hire the third person, that one is also a crook. You hire the fourth one, that one is an armed robber. By the time you finish, you know, say, these people, he said, no. Ask yourself, am I blind? How come I'm only hiring bad people? Do you notice the difference? You could say, they, no, but wait, you hired them. So you start asking yourself, wait, oh, there must be something wrong with my hiring process. There must be something wrong with my ability to discern the kind of characters that men have. There must be something wrong with me. Am I hasty? Am I too emotional? You know, it's your cousin. He has not had a job in the last 4 years. You don't hire people who have problems. You hire people that can help you. You give to those who have problems. If your cousin is hungry, give him money. If he cannot add anything to your business, please don't be stupid. Don't hire him. When you go home, dash him money. If he's sick, visit him in the hospital, pay his bills. But if he can't contribute anything to you, don't hire him. Business is for goodness sake. Business, that is supposed to be productivity. It's not a charity thing. Out of your profit, you can give to charity. Add him to your list of charitable givings. Yes. Archbishop Benson Idahosa used to say, never hire whosoever you cannot fire. If you know you'll be afraid to fire your brother, don't hire him. Talk to your friend to hire him for you. He can fire him. These are the valuable lessons. Are you getting my point? That failure teaches us in life. And without learning them, like I was telling the story of my wife and I, what God is saying is that I'm trying to get you ready for the time you will do a $1 billion business. And please, you are going to mess my name if you continue doing business like this. Therefore, I let you go through these trials for now. There are people that, but there's a joke, we crack in Kingdom World Ministries these days. Say, don't do like this, brother. There's one brother we're talking about. God prosper you small, you disappear, you don't come to church again. Listen, there's a level of business you've been dreaming about. Go say, oh boy, I give it to you. Pastor, no go see you again. They are doing special program teaching on this. You won't be there. Why? My partners are coming from Germany. On Sunday, you won't be there. Because they are largest from the north. They came on weekend. God said, wait. I will first put you in this small business where compulsory by 5, you go down close so you can go to church. Nobody's going to do any business with you on Sunday. Go to church. I will take a few years to build you up so that you will know that which is life indeed. When I have brought you to the level where you know what is really precious, where you can close your eyes, because one of the things, you know, Bible says there is a time to take, I'm putting many words now, there's a time to let go, there's a time to hold, there's a time to refrain from embracing. There are businesses you don't embrace. even though they are good. And somebody will tell you that, if you only are taking that business, look at your neighbor now, look at how much money he's making. Tell them, I'm not the only one God wants to bless. If I take it, what will he take? What am I saying? There's a level of maturity you live, you know that it's not everything you take. There are many things people call me because of the kind of job I do, my profession, all of that. And they say, please, we want this done. I go, look, they say, where? Is it nowhere? I say, oh, where? I say, I have one of my colleagues there. Let me give you his number. He said, he's in Abba. I say, Abba is closer to Owerri than it is to Enugu. Let me give you his number. And he says, so I put up, I say, I have three of my colleagues. I can give you their numbers. So this one wants you to come to Newe. I say, I have two colleagues in Newe. I can give you their numbers. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. It's just that I have made my choice. And listen, you are not going to overlabor me with too much work because you want to give me extra money. No. Listen, to learn some of those lessons, God will keep us in a place of smallness, temporarily. Listen, if you are small today, listen to me. Listen to me. God is saying it is time for you to learn some lessons that will be difficult to learn when you are big. You can experiment with 5,000 and lose it, no problem. You can experiment with 3,000 and lose it, no problem. But God said, I don't want you to experiment with $500 million, please. So, you know why you lost the last 50,000? It's an easier one to lose. You won't commit suicide, I know. I am aware. You can fight. This is the end. I know you are lying. It's not the end. You will soon get up. You will go to church next Sunday. Pastor will pray for you. That will be the end of it. But you've learned one lesson. You've learned one lesson. Go and read this book, Richest Man in Babylon. There's one thing about that book that's very interesting. Some of these lessons are in there. So the man said, one guy saved up money after many years. He now gave it to a man to go and buy jewelry, gemstones, diamond and stuff. They will come and sell. He said, who's the man you gave it to? He said, the brickmaker. He said, you gave a brickmaker money to go and buy diamond. Okay, fine. Of course, by the time they came back, they defrauded him. Of course, they sold the guy a glass, not diamond. And I said, now you have learned the lesson. Next time you want to give somebody money to buy gemstones, give to a jeweler. Don't give to a brickmaker. So it's a crucial lesson. Write it down. Don't ever forget it. What am I saying? His failure was a lesson in life. Are you getting my point? They asked Thomas Edison, how come you tested this thing maybe like thousands of times before it finally worked and you never give up? He said, I was only learning the number of ways by which it will not work. Many of your failures in life is God teaching you the number of ways by which it will not work. Some failures are used to purge away covetous spirit. The first business you did, the moment money hit, wham, you bought a big car. God knew that car is your major problem in life. So exactly 6 weeks after, a thief collected it with all the tracking and tracker and everything inside. You have not found it till today. It's God that stole it. God took it. It's his own. The earth is mine and the car, Mercedes Benz thereof. Everything belongs to me. So I collected my car back. Why? I need you to understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You must understand that. Because that's why I took the car. You won't find it though. Better stop looking for it. Better stop looking for it. But when you have learned the lesson, I will give you Maybachs for breakfast. In the morning, just drive a Maybach for breakfast. That is nothing. Now you've learned that it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. But until you learn that lesson, I won't let you hold that one. Why? I told you, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. You were only fruitful. You were buying big cars. What's wrong with you? You've forgotten the principle of multiplication. If at this level you are buying big cars, when will you multiply? When will you fill the earth? When will you subdue it? There are things you are not supposed to do until you have filled the earth. There are things you are not supposed to touch until your multiplication has come. Listen, you are fruitful. Every car you buy when you are just being fruitful, it must be for function. You know what I mean? Function. You start buying a nice car, buy a truck. Yes, buy a pickup. Thank God for Toyota Tacoma. Those ones that you can only stay in front, the back, now for carrying load. Buy one. Yes. Buy things like that. Why? Because those are the things you will use to help you in becoming multiplied. He said, be fruitful. That's one level. Multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. God does not just give Christians dominion, just by mouth. Dominion is not just by mouth. Dangote has more power in politics in Nigeria without joining any party than most people are going up and down. Abuja, Benin, Lokoja, Enugu, Aba, every day. Why? Because he has multiplied and he has filled the country. To build a house, president is calling him to discuss how price should come down of cement. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
And what God is saying is that, listen, this is how Christians do. They also must become fruitful, multiply. It's when they are ready to fill the earth and subdue it that I drive. Oh, listen to this. God told them, I will not drive these people out of the land in one day. I know I'm bringing you in to take over, but I won't drive them out in one day. Because if I do, you know, some of us have been praying, God, how come, unbeliever, Muslim, this one. God said, if Dangote stops, there will be no cement at all. There will be no Indomie. Is it, oh no, whatever it is. Oh, listen, that until you arise, I can't dispossess some people. I never dispossess people and create vacuums. Are you getting what I'm saying? God says, I don't dispossess people so as to create vacuums. Until the children of Israel entered into that land, or with the Canaanites, with all their iniquities, they were living there comfortably. This is the annoying part. The land was very fruitful for them with their sin. Did you notice that? The Israelites didn't come there and meet a bad land. They came to see a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But God left those people there until the Israelites were ready to come and take the land. And he said, I won't take them out in one day so that the land does not become overrun by wild beasts, that is, by lack of care. So let them continue to care until godly and good people expand to fill it. What am I saying? Lessons. My main thing I want to say, because my time is up now, bear that in mind. God is perfecting spirits. And James said that you'll be perfect and entire. Perfect. And complete is in the midst of your trials. Therefore, he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Not count it witchcraft, which is African mentality. You count it witchcraft. It is the witches. They don't want me to prosper. I saw a prayer book the other day. I said, this is not righteousness. I saw the prayer book. All the attacks of enemies. How to overcome attacks of enemies by returning things to senders. I wish you would use, you know, like I say all the time, you've heard this, the blood of Jesus, go and check it. The blood of Jesus was never used anywhere against enemies. It was always used against the people themselves. That's for the people, for the purification of their sins, for their protection upon them. They don't fire it against unbelievers. That is all my sinfulness, the blood of Jesus. All the lie from my mouth, the blood of Jesus. All my cheating my friends, the blood of Jesus. All my telling lies so as to collect money from people, the blood of Jesus. That's how you're supposed to use the blood of Jesus. All the arrows against me, forget those arrows. Forget those arrows. If your Bible says that if the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm talking about the purification of your spirit. And I'm emphasizing the fact that you must understand that's what God is doing. He's getting you ready for the time that the wealth will really transfer. He's getting you ready because the birds will not leave a difficult place and come and land in another difficult place. The birds of wealth will leave a place that God is displeased with and land in a place where God is pleased. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's why God takes you through all those trials of life. And listen to me. Trials don't make sense if there's no word. Let me say what I'm saying again. If you are going through trials, you don't come to the presence of God to interpret them, it makes no meaning. It's only the presence of the Spirit of God that comes into your life by the entrance of His word that makes trials have spiritual value. Did you hear what I said? Listen, for example, there are things you have lost. Some people here, that until you came today, somebody brought you to church, maybe today, is this today you finally understood that it's not because you have bad luck. No, you don't have bad luck. No Christian has bad luck. Let me really say that. No Christian has what? They say, that man just get bad head. It's not true. He's not a believer. If he's a believer, it's just that he's stubborn. He's not learning his lessons on time. Every believer has been blessed with every blessing in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You are blessed. Did I hear an amen? I said you are blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Bad luck is not your portion. You must understand that. A righteous man can fall 7 times. That's what the Bible says. Peter Daniels. I don't know how many of you have heard of Peter Daniels. I use him as an example a lot. He's an Australian Christian, multi-millionaires. That's he and his children. They are very rich people. Peter Daniels said, as a young boy, he was judged brain. In fact, they used to call him brain damaged. That he was so stupid, he couldn't learn anything. In his 20s, he gave his life to Christ. And he discovered what God said about a Christian in Christ Jesus. And he decided that he could learn anything. Peter Daniels, at a particular point, he does business consultancy, business development. His family owns a bullion company. All right, I mean, his children travel with gold in their briefcases, you know, stuff like that. He's a very wealthy man. He's the one that said, there are a number of projects he has. One of the projects is that he wants to see how much a man can give in a lifetime to the propagation of the gospel. It's his assignment. He's just giving crazily. I'm going somewhere here. At the height of his consultancy, one day, a company paid him $1 million to consult for 10 minutes. You hear what I said? The day we heard that, for that road to a God paid 1 million naira to consult for a whole day, we were excited. A whole day, morning till night. Peter Daniels was paid $1 million for 10 minutes. And if in case you think it's a joke, the people who listened to him for 10 minutes made $100 million. Are you getting my point? The company that he talked to for 10 minutes, from that talk, they got $100 million. Why am I saying all of this? The first 3 or 4 businesses he started collapsed. As a Christian, we do one business today, it goes bankrupt. The guy went bankrupt again and again. I don't know how many, maybe 3 or 4. They asked his wife, when this was happening, what were you thinking? He said, really, I wasn't thinking anything. He said, the man said he knew what he was doing. I kind of believed him. A righteous man falls how many times? 7 times. So you've done businesses 4 times, collapse. Just tell yourself, not be 7, they talk. But my message is, don't lose the lesson in each collapse. That's the point. There's a spiritual and physical lesson each time. The spiritual lesson is one, most important. And outwardly, there will be some physical lessons to add to it. Don't lose it. When they say a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord raises him. It doesn't mean he falls in the same spot 7 times. Otherwise, he'll be a stupid man. How can a righteous man be falling 7 times on one spot? Only a stupid man falls 7 times in one spot. A righteous man falls 7 times. One, yeah, he gets up, he checks it, don't fall there again. He moves. As he's moving, he trips another place. That's why he falls 7 times. He's not falling into the same problem 7 times. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that you don't lose the lesson, each one. You learn this lesson and you move on. There are people that their own problem is that they are too strong. God first break their strength. So that's lesson number one. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. So that one, instead of going to work at 6 a.m., he starts going at 7:38. You'll still wake up at 6, but prayer, you know, you do house fellowship all alone. This is the day that the Lord has. When you finish, you preach to yourself all alone. Read your scriptural reading. After 1 hour, you go out. God said, okay, boys, he has learned the lesson, release on prosperity. And that lesson will come. But each period in life, God is getting you ready. That's the point I'm making. For the time that the birds will fly from somewhere and they have to perch somewhere. The question is that, do you have that perfected spirit? Because life will give to you only that which your spirit can carry. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so what God is doing is by his word and by your experiences in life is perfecting your spirit. Therefore, you must be patient. You must be patient. You don't ever put forth your hand to do iniquity because doing righteousness has not paid you all these years. No, there is an appointed time. Are you getting my point? And if God is ready and he comes at the appointed time, make sure he finds you where you are supposed to be. I don't have more time than this. In fact, I've borrowed more time than was allotted to me. So let me stop it here. But I hope you have learned something this morning. I hope you have learned something this morning. If that's the case, let's just rise to our feet and just worship the Lord. Let's give him thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. It's very important you respond to the word of God quickly because there is something that God was speaking. You know, I said all kinds of things. And there are multitudes of people in here. Each person heard one thing.
And based upon that thing you heard, you need to quickly respond to God. He said, Lord, I have heard this. This is my dedication. First, I thank you because you sent your word again to me this morning. I thank you. 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 Now, based upon what your spirit was speaking to me as this word was coming forth, this is my dedication. Like I was saying, there are people that their own dedication lies at God. This is my rushing out early in the morning. It may sound that trivial, but to God it's crucial. That every morning I won't rush out again. Even if it's 30 minutes, I will just sit down there, take a Bible, read a few lines and pray. And ask for the strength of God. There are those that God said, listen, you have been too covetous. You're supposed to be a blessing to your business partners and your customers. That's as I was preaching, that's what you were hearing. There are those that God said, all this money you make, only you they chop up. You have not been a blessing to somebody else. You have not been a blessing to people who are around you who need it. You have not been a blessing to the work of God. You have not been a blessing to the people who are blessing you with the word of God. Say, you must learn that lesson. That's also important. You write that and say, you respond to him that, God, this is what I have learned. There are those that God said, listen, you're a woman and your family is very important. It's very important. You have to rearrange things and put them in order. And that's the lesson. That's all you heard today. All kinds of lessons for different kinds of people. All kinds of lessons. There are those who their own lessons, that they've always said that, if I don't go to America, I can never prosper. That way you have tried, you pay visa lottery every year for the last 10 years. Everybody around you have won, you have not. You've been to the embassy 4 times in the last 3 years. They've refused you visa. There was a time you put 10 million naira in your account, you borrowed it. They still didn't fall for it. It's God telling you that America is not God, I am God. So talk to him now and say, Lord, I will focus on you alone. Wherever you lead me, that's where I will go. God spoke to Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Stay here. Plant in this land. Abraham bought land for cheap because everybody, Isaac bought land cheap because everybody had disappeared, going somewhere else. Everybody's learning his own lesson. In every stage of life, God is purifying your spirit. When everything is together, when Abraham, 25 years, when Abraham had all his lessons together, then God spoke to him one day. By this time next year, he said, now listen to me, God is trying to perfect your spirit. Cooperate with him. Respond to him by the words that came forth today. Respond by your own words. And say, God, this is my dedication. From now, I have learned this. Thank you. I was grumbling before. I was wondering, why was it that it's only me that you left there? Now I know that you have an end. You have a special purpose. You have something you are preparing me for. Thank you. Thank you for it. Lord, I thank you. Now I realize I'm not disadvantaged. I don't have bad luck. There's no curse working on me. No curse. I'm blessed. I am blessed. And Lord, I thank you for it.